Hello and welcome. This is Connie Reagan-Green, and today the call that I'm going to do is going to be a hybrid. It means that this is something I'm publishing on AskConnieAnything.com. That's a weekly teleseminar series, as well as a call for my podcast series, which is Prestabilious, Excellence in Marketing. And I'm always experimenting, so that's the reason that I'm doing it this way. And I want you to learn from this experimenting, because so many times we think about things too long. We keep thinking and thinking, and I've been dealing with this just in the past couple of weeks with some clients and with some people that I'm in an online group with, and I want to talk about it. So thinking is wonderful. Daydreaming is wonderful. When I was a classroom teacher, I was not one of those teachers that would tell children to stop daydreaming. Instead, I said, daydreaming is wonderful. Let's finish our work, and then we have that time to daydream. So I put it kind of in perspective. So with business, most of us have had a job or a career or sometimes even a business over the years, and then we come online. And when you're online, all of a sudden you're alone. You're behind your computer. And I did, you know, like everybody, I did this the same way. I started in 2006, and there I was all by myself. I had resigned from teaching on June 30th, 2006. I had already been doing a little bit online for about 6 months just to kind of lay a foundation and learn as much as I could. I also gave up my best real estate clients. So I'm still a real estate broker in the state of California, but I haven't done it for anyone other than myself and some family members and two close friends for 14 years now. So what happens when we're alone in front of the computer and we have this online business is we're not sure what to do first. And so we either have analysis paralysis, where we're analyzing everything and not doing anything, or we get into this mode of thinking and planning. The problem is it's all in our head. And even if you take notes, even if you're writing down some things, you're not achieving your goals because you're not taking action. So long, long ago, and this was in the mid-1980s, I found myself at a job. I called it a job. They called it the beginning of a career. I was a claims adjuster for Liberty Mutual Insurance. And at the time, they were one of the top two or three insurance companies in the United States. Now, they're still around, but I'm not sure what their status is in terms of having the most customers in the country or something. But I knew going into that job that it would always be a job for me, and it would just be a matter of time before I would leave. And I did leave in a year and a half. And I learned a lot. So it wasn't a bad job, but it was a job, and it was something I didn't want to stay at. I saw the people that became supervisors and kind of moved up the ranks, and at some point I felt that they were paper pushers. They knew how to do the paperwork and turn it over to the next person, but that's all they knew how to do. And I wondered what would happen if they were laid off or needed to relocate to another part of the country or something, where they would work and what they would do, because I don't know that they knew how to do anything specifically. So I kept that all in mind while I was there. But I learned some important things, including something called work product. I had never heard that phrase before. I mean, I was young, but I had never heard that term. And it turned out that every Friday, I would meet with my supervisor. I think it was on a Friday, once a week anyway, I would meet with my supervisor, nice man. And we would sit down, and he would say, now we're going to go over your work product for the past week. And he would look at everything I had done. And in the beginning, I would say, oh, but I was on the call, you know, because I was doing accidents, so auto accidents, accidents in department stores, things like that. Also, I was doing some home claims. So if something happened in someone's home, they had homeowners insurance with Liberty Mutual. I also did those. So it was property loss claims, things like that. And I would say, oh, I was on the phone with, and it could have been an attorney. It could have been, you know, our person that was the insured. It could have been the store. So there was a store called May Company, and I remember when a child got their foot caught in the escalator. And so I was on the phone quite a bit with the people at May Company that were handling that. And I'd be on the phone with hospitals, and just a variety of places. Well, that wasn't included work product. It was almost as though those things were done on my own time. And I had to learn how this would work because I thought, well, wait, I have a lot of work to do. And part of this is being on the phone or doing some research. So now this goes back to the mid-1980s. We did not have computers or terminals on our desk. Any research that was done from files. So these were all paper, hard copy, that were there at the location where I was working, where it was in Los Angeles. It was on Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles. And you would have to ask someone to go and retrieve the file for you. And this could take days or longer. And it was very, very interesting. But what I learned was, unless I was actually doing something each day, doing something such as dictating a letter that would go into the file, actually making my own notes that would then be transcribed by someone in that department. It was the secretarial pool that they, because I was not allowed, I don't type anyway, but I wasn't allowed to type up my own documents. So I could write it down, and then it had to be transcribed, and then it would be added to the file. So the only thing I really got credit for was what I created in terms of my notes, in terms of letters, lots and lots of letters dictated that went back and forth to all these parties and everything. But the other things were pretty much not included in my work product. So I learned, it just took me a few weeks, within, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, I understood that every day I had to crank out my work product so that I would get a good review each week, leading to a 6-month review where you were given a raise depending on your work product. So for your business, I want you to think of that term, that phrase, work product. What are you creating every day? So for today, I've been writing an article. I'm also finishing up my next book. It's called The Road Trip, An Entrepreneur's Journey of Self-Discovery. That'll be out in the beginning of January. Also, I was creating some posts for social media. So I include that as work product because they're leading to the next result. Either they're list building or they're direct selling, something like that. Sometimes I'm giving information, but not as often. So what is your work product looking like these days? What is it that you're actually doing? So hopefully you have a blog. I'm a big proponent of blogs. They've served me well from day one. From day one, I made my very first affiliate sale in the spring of 2006, and it was based on a post that I wrote, and it was about dog training. I had my dog blog. And it was promoting a product that I earned $21.60 from. I also took those articles and syndicated them to the article directories. So it's very different today, but it's based on the same principles of distributing and syndicating our content. What else am I doing? I'm creating a new session for the affiliate marketing micro course that will be this week. I'm also creating another session for a course I have called Reputation Management Made Simple, and that will also be this week. So all of that is my work product. I'll be doing one more blog post this week, so I'll have 2 blog posts for the week. I'll have a number of social media updates. I'll have the book that I'm continuing, and I'm in the last week of finishing up that book. I have to get it over to the editor next week for sure, so I can publish it the very first week of January. So I have that. Plus, when you're creating an online course, every time you create a new session, and it will take me 2 to 3 hours to do each of the sessions because I want to do them well. I want to include information that will be helpful to the people in the course. But then I've added an asset to the course. So your work product ends up being part of your assets that you have. Because when I create the course, I sell it over and over and over again, even though on the day I'm selling it, I may not have even logged into the site. But I've created the content. The same with the blogs. The same with what I'm doing right now. What I'm doing right now is being distributed as AskConnieAnything.com, but it's also being distributed as Prestabilius, Excellence in Marketing. So I just want you to think about this. Also, it's all based on taking action, everyday action, that turns into something, not just thinking about it and taking some notes. All right. Are you working on your business or in your business? When I'm working in my business, I'm creating my work product. I'm creating my content. That's me directly working in the business. When you're working on the business, you're making plans. So this is where there's a fine line with everything I'm talking about now. You're making plans, but the plans must come to fruition quickly. So over the last couple of days, I made a whole lot of notes about what I will include in this session of the Really Simple Affiliate Marketing micro course. So that was really on my own time. Now today that I'll be opening up the PowerPoint and adding that information there, that's me working in the business. So you have to take that time to daydream and to plan, but it must be in perspective. You must do this for a period of time, however long it takes you. Some people take hours to plan a blog post. I don't ever take that long to plan one, but many people do. So that's you working on your business. When you're actually doing the post, you're working in your business. So the goal is for you to think about the business anytime, any place. To work in the business limits your time. I typically work about 20 hours a week. During July and December, I typically work about 10 hours a week. I just don't work as much during July. I'm spending a lot of time with family. Many times I'm in Finland or Sweden or both, and the UK. And I love to do that very, very much. In December, it's the holiday season. I have a lot of social obligations. I have a lot of volunteering and charitable work that I'm doing. So I'm not working in the business nearly as many hours. So think about that for you. Also, when is your day off? So right now, my day off has been on Saturdays. And the reason is that's when I have my biggest volunteer commitments to three different groups this year. And during that time, yes, I'll think about the business, but mainly I'm too busy doing things that are in my day-to-day life, which is a whole lot of volunteering. So take a day off. And the day off, you know, allow your mind to wander and do what it wants to do, but know that you won't go on the computer perhaps. You might check your email if people, because I have people that write to me and they have a question or they need help with something. So I'm happy to do that. But I'm not working in the business or really on the business on that day off. The only on the business part would be me thinking about something I might want to do. Now, what if you're inspired on your day off? Certainly always have a notepad or a notebook or something with you. So I always have something. I always have a number of pins. I have so many pins from so many hotels that I go to and so many events that I've done. And one hotel in Santa Barbara, they actually gave me, I think they gave me about 30 really nice pins, writing pins, to use. They said, let us sponsor your event in Los Angeles the next time. And I let them do it. And it was wonderful from the Hotel Santa Barbara. A shout out to them. Love them. So when someone wants to borrow a pen from me, I give it to them and I say, but I want you to keep the pen because I have way too many pens to use. But I always have a pen with me and a notepad. I have both a notepad. I'm holding it now. It's a 5x7 mini legal pad. I also have a notebook that I keep in my purse. I also have things in the car, in the center storage area. So we have the glove box, and then there's an area in the center that you can put things in. So you can take notes because you might be inspired when you're out somewhere or with people someplace. Sometimes I'm in a movie, and I get an idea, and sure enough, I take out my notepad very quietly. I make just enough notes so I'll remember it later, put it away, and I go back to the movie. So when inspiration strikes, you must be there for that. And let me do one other thing here. Okay, fantastic. Good, we have a lot of people joining us live today, so thank you for being here. So you want to have that day off and enjoy your day off because we tend to work too much in the online business, especially when we're getting started. And the joke used to be, I don't know how funny it is, but the joke used to be that when you come online, you only work half days, 12 hours, half days, get it? And I don't know that that's so funny because you want to pull back from that. you will accomplish more, you'll earn more income if you work fewer hours. Why? And I've learned this from a few different people, because if you give yourself office hours, and I do, I start early in the morning, and then by the time I finish this call, it'll be about 11 o'clock Pacific time for me. Pretty much that's the end of my day, unless I have a webinar, which I do about 4 or 5 times a month. I'll have a webinar, which I do at 4 o'clock my time, 7 p.m. Eastern time. So in between those hours, then I'm not doing the work. So all of these are things to think about. If you give yourself hours to work, you'll get the work done during those hours. It will happen. You can work more quickly than you're working, especially after you've done something a number of times. If you're creating a product, you must set an end date for it. It must be ready by a certain time. So the most recent product I created is called Video Live Streaming for Introverts.com. And I started that as a class project for my fall jumpstart. And during that time, I showed them how I was going to set a deadline for when the website would be up and the tech work would be done. And that's me contacting people that do that for me and saying, can you do it by this time? And usually I'm giving them 3 to 4 weeks to do that. And so I did that. And other than that, then it's up to me. And I have a list of what I need to do. I need to create the product. I need to do the sales page. I need to do certain things. And then you get it out there on time. Now, what if I had said, you know, it's the end of the year, and now it's Thanksgiving, and then it'll be Christmas and New Year's and all of these things. I'll just launch it in January. No, no good. No good. You must stick to your schedule and do what it takes. For one thing, people around you will see that you're being serious about your business, because people in my world, so everybody I know, family, friends, neighbors, people in the various circles of influence that I belong to, Rotary, church groups, the Elks group, so many groups, Boys and Girls Club, people I do things with, they would be shocked if they said to me, what are you working on? And I'd say, well, I was working on a product, but, you know, it got into November and the holidays, and I think I'm just going to wait and finish it in January. They would think that it was an imposter, that they weren't talking to the real Connie Reagan Green. They would say, who is this person? Because they know me to say, yes, there's some work that I didn't anticipate. The sales letter is coming along a little more slowly, so I'm going to make that happen. I'm going to make sure that that's on my schedule. I'm going to get it done. If you're creating a product with another person, make sure that you're both on the same page, that you're both ready to take action, and that you'll do what it takes. If you get stuck somewhere, that's when you reach out to your mentor. That's when you connect with the people that will help you accomplish your goals. So if I had waited until a week before I wanted to launch the Video Live Streaming for Introverts.com course, then I wouldn't have been able to do it on time, because I can't ask my tech people to do it in a week. I know that their lead time is 3 to 4 weeks for sure, and now I already have things planned by the end of January that will be finished by the end of January that I asked them to do before the end of November. So take a look at how you're interacting with people that are helping you, because we can't expect people to finish something overnight if we didn't get it to them in time. And I always describe that as an emergency on my part failure to plan on my part does not constitute an emergency on their part. So just because I didn't do what I needed to do, and then I'm saying, oh, I need this in 2 days, can you do it? No, the answer needs to be no. You don't want to work with people that say, oh, yeah, I'm not doing anything this week, I can finish it for you. That won't work either. So all these things I think are very important to think about. The final thing that I want to talk about today is sales. You're in the business of sales. If you don't make sales, either of your own products, courses, programs, books, everything you have, or affiliate products, courses, programs, books, services, you know, everything that's available, then you don't make any money. We only make money when somebody somewhere buys something from us or through us. And I know it seems silly to talk about it in this way, but it turns out that that doesn't just come naturally for most people coming online, especially if you've come from a background where you had a job or a career where you earned money in a very different way. With online marketing, if we don't put things out there that are available to people and they don't make purchases, we're not in business. If you're not making any money, you're just not in business. I'm not sure what you're doing, but you have to change your ways. So the example from real life I'm going to give you with this is when I started in real estate. It was 1983, and yes, I was very, very young, and I can remember the first few weeks in the office. It was a big office. There were probably 100 people working there, so people like me. I was a real estate agent, a newly licensed real estate agent, and I wanted to meet the other people, and they had given me desk space, and I was able to use that desk during certain days and hours because other people were also sharing the desk. And I wanted to go around and meet people on different days that I hadn't seen on a previous day. And the question I would ask them, we'd exchange our names and a little bit of, I'd say, yes, I'm very excited about being in real estate. This was before I became a teacher. I didn't become a teacher until a number of years later. It was 4 years later when I became a classroom teacher. So I was in real estate first. And I told them I had worked for Liberty Mutual Insurance, and I had worked at a couple of banks. I had worked at a bank called Security Pacific Bank and was robbed at gunpoint twice and decided I didn't want to work at a bank anymore. But I would say to them, after we exchanged basic information, I would say, so how do you like being in sales? Because I thought, okay, so we're in real estate. Wouldn't we be selling pieces of property to people or something similar, getting a lease on something? But somehow it's a sales position. And almost all the people would say to me, sales isn't for me. I'm in real estate. I love being in real estate. And I thought about that. And even though I was young, I thought about it. And I thought, well, let me see, because I'm an observer of human behavior. Let me see how this works out. Because other people would say, yes, selling real estate is a worthy career. It's so valuable. We're doing a great service for people to help them sell one home and buy another, or to be able to lease commercial property or a rental unit or something. They saw it very differently. So the people that said, no, sales isn't for me, I like being in real estate, those were the people that always showed up on Tuesday and Friday morning. Why? We had something called caravanning. So you would come, and people in the office would chart out the course, and you would see anywhere from maybe 8 to 20 properties. And we'd all get in each other's cars, so you'd be maybe 3-4 people in a car, and we'd kind of follow each other, and we'd go to all these homes, and they'd give you some refreshments. Some of them had what was called a progressive lunch. It was very exciting. So you'd have salad or an appetizer, and then you'd have a main course, and then something else that would go on, and then dessert was the final house. Some people drove right to the dessert house first. But the idea was for those real estate agents and brokers to get people to come and see their listing, the new listing. And for the people that just wanted to be in real estate, they were just very excited to go to the whole caravanning both of those days, and they would eat the food and enjoy themselves, and they would take a look around and everything, and they'd come back to the office, and they would do something. They'd write something down for a little bit, and then off they would go. Well, I assumed off they would go meant they were going to reach out to people that they were working with to say, I saw a new listing today. I think you're going to like it. This could be exactly what you've been looking for. But no, they were finished for the day. So they weren't following through on the sales part of all of this. And I was honestly, quite shocked by the whole thing, because I thought, well, gee, how will they make money? The answer was they typically didn't make money or didn't make much. A lot of times they had their own property they wanted to sell or list, whatever they wanted to do, buy another one. Or they had close friends or family members who did. So they would do 1, 2, 3 transactions during that first year, and then they were gone. They would let the real estate license go because they never really felt like they were in real estate sales. They were in real estate. So you don't want to do that in your business. Instead, you want to be one of the people that says, yes, this is very worthwhile. It's worthy of my time and my attention. I am selling my own and affiliate products, courses, programs, services, all kinds of things, books, a variety of things to people who will benefit from them, people who are looking for something in this area and will benefit from it. So when you see me send out emails, I send 10 emails a week. And in those emails, I'm making a case for what I'm promoting. This is what is available. This is why I think it's important. Sometimes it's mine, sometimes it's affiliate. But I'm making a case for it. I don't just throw it up on the page for you to get the email and say, oh, she's just kind of listing something here. Why is it important? If it's about list building, why is it important? If it's a workshop, if it's something that I can then turn into a program that I do for my people, why is that important? So think about being in sales. So I hope this has been helpful to you. We're talking about work product today. We're talking about working in or on your business. We're talking about taking a day off, taking action every day. So even when you're on your day off, you're taking action because you're thinking about what you're doing. You're daydreaming about it. But then you have to put that into work product results, work product action. And then the idea that you're in sales. So check in with yourself right now. When I tell you that being online, having an online business, being an online entrepreneur, being an author, being someone who teaches and delivers online courses, that that's sales, how does that make you feel? Do you say, oh, sales, no, I don't like sales? Or do you say, yes, selling my products and other people's, you know, through my affiliate link is something valuable because other people will benefit. I can't tell you how many times every week people write to me and they say, I'm so glad you shared this. I didn't know anything about this. I'm so glad you let me know. I might not have found out about it, because we can't assume that everyone that's you know, sending emails that's an online entrepreneur is sending the same information. The idea is you want to send something a little bit different. So go over to Warrior Plus, for example. Go to my affiliate site, affiliatelinksandtools.com. See what's available. See what's out there. See what's coming up. And get on people's notification list so you can find out. I found out about something this week that I knew had been in the process for months, but it was only in the past 7 days that it came to fruition, where it was then available, and I could see the value in it for me and for many other people, and I was able to share that. So lots of things to think about. And if you're here live, let's see if there are questions. And someone's saying, I like the idea of being in sales, but I don't think of myself as a salesperson. Okay, all right, let's explore that. So you like the idea of being in sales, but you don't think of yourself as a salesperson. I believe, I have a product that's called howtosellyourselfandyourstuff.com. And in How to Sell Yourself and Your Stuff, I talk about the idea that we're all born salespeople. We really are. If you've seen a very young child, a 2 or a 3 or a 4-year-old child, trying to persuade the adult around them, parent or grandparent, whoever it is, to do something a certain way or to do something for them, you've seen sales in action. Even animals are good salespeople. So I have Maggie the cat, and Maggie is a quite interesting creature. I think she's the most intelligent creature at the house, and that includes all the people in both of my houses and where I have family members. And what she'll do is she'll decide, and I really set it up this way, where she could decide if she wants to go outside and spend time in her catio. So a catio, it's like a cage, but it's really beautiful. And it's very large, so several people could stand up, you know, full standing up in there. And there's a chair you can sit down. There are plants and everything. So I wanted it to be her decision. I didn't want to just carry her out to the catio on my schedule. So instead, she decides she'll meow a little bit. She'll go downstairs, and then she'll go over to the carrier that we have not far from the sliding glass doors going out to the backyard. And if she wants to go out, she'll rub against the carrier. Sometimes she'll actually start to go inside. And then me or whoever happens to be there will say, Maggie, do you want to go outside in the catio? And she'll go all the way in the carrier. Now, sometimes she's still upstairs. And sometimes I'll say, Maggie, do you want to go outside in the catio? It looks really beautiful out there. Do you want to go in? The words are outside and catio. If she wants to, she'll come down the stairs, sometimes faster than other times. If she doesn't want to, you won't see her. And if she's downstairs near her carrier and I say, do you want to go outside in the catio, she'll step away from it. So she's either selling me on the idea of taking her out there or not. So observe behavior. Observe your own behavior. When you go into a store, what I joke about with salespeople when I'm in a retail establishment, I'll tell them, because I look around and I'll spend some time and I'll say, you'll know when I'm serious when I take my glasses out of my purse. And it's true, because without my glasses, I'm not seeing all the details. I might not even be seeing the price. Once I put those glasses on, that means I'm ready to make a purchase. So that's my sales clues. So if you don't think of yourself as a salesman, I would just say, take a closer look at your behavior. Who are you gently persuading to do something that you want to do? Because I think we all do it. We leave hints. We leave clues. Around the holidays, you might be leaving a clue that you want a certain gift. So someone in my family decided that they would like to go over to Finland and Sweden right at the first of the year. This is someone who has not been over there in the winter time when it's really, really cold and dark for 25 years. And this year he said, I think I'd like to see what that's like again. And he kept leaving hints. So sure enough, we got him the plane ticket. He's ready to go. He's so excited. He's got then a ticket to go on the ship from Turku, Finland, over to Stockholm, Sweden, across the Baltic Sea. It's a beautiful, beautiful trip over there. It's an overnight trip. And he's excited to do it. So he was a salesperson. And this is someone who would never describe himself as such. But he definitely made a very gentle sales pitch. And within 7 days, his trip was all organized and planned. And now he'll be leaving in a few weeks to go for 3 weeks over there. So think about it that way. And if you do feel like you can be a salesman or salesperson, woman, I'm not sure if there's a man or a woman. So if you're a salesperson, then the online marketing world is definitely for you. The worst thing that can happen, and I've seen this a number of times now, is people love to create products. They love to write books. They love to do everything except market and sell what they've created. So that way the books just kind of sit on Amazon. They're at number 3 million or more, and the products don't sell. And sometimes those people will say, this online marketing entrepreneurship type of business doesn't work. It does. But you have to let people know. That's the marketing. Once you let them know what you have to sell. So that's the sales page or you talking about it online or offline. I do a lot of my work offline when I'm talking to people. So sometimes when I'm doing the charity work, this past Saturday, somebody was asking me about my course where I teach people. It's the 10-week author course. And I say, yes, I do that twice a year. I'll be doing it again by the end of February, early March. I just completed one during the beginning of November. So you always want to let people know what you're doing, what you have coming up, and make a big business for yourself, because we're able to have a big business working by ourselves with a small team of people. I started with one person on my team that did all my tech work. And during the first year, we bartered. She wanted to learn about marketing. I needed her to help me with tech and with graphics. And we did that. By the second year, I was paying her. And now I have 15 people that help me. Some of them only help me a couple hours a month, but they're still included in that 15. The most I have anybody doing things is about 5 hours a week. So it all adds up. It's quite a few people, but I have a lot of things moving at this point in my business, so it serves me. And I love working with people remotely like this because I only want to work with the people that are wonderful, wonderful people. They're smart, they're kind, they just love what they're doing, and I love having them be a part of my team. And we become close, we become very friendly. So if you're in need of somebody as part of your team, or if you're somebody who is a team person who offers services for someone else, either way, let me know. Let me know. All right, this is Connie Reagan Green, and you can go to my main site at ConnieReaganGreen.com. Also, please follow me on Twitter because I share everything on Twitter. I kind of unfold it throughout a 24-hour period so you can see exactly what's going on. And I'm Connie Green at Twitter, so twitter.com/ConnieGreen. And again, thanks for being a part of this today, our hybrid call, where it's for AskConnieAnything.com, and it's also for Prestabilius, Excellence in Marketing, the podcast. So have a wonderful rest of your day.